8-inch pot, and it's probably 12-8 inches tall. So it's a nice looking plant. We started to get a lot of herbs in, and one we had trouble getting last year. This one is called cutting celery. It looks just like parsley, right?
Yeah.
It's in the parsley family. But this one, they'll actually use the leaves and the stem of the plant and chop it up, and you cook with it just like it was celery. So it's more of a seasoning. Obviously, it's not going to be big like a celery, so you couldn't use it in certain ways. But if it's a seasoning you're using it for, it's a great way. And I just tell you, if you're going to put it in a pot, which is fine, either pot or ground, no problem. You wouldn't want to mix with parsley, right, because it looks identical. So it would kind of intertwine, and you wouldn't be able to tell the difference.
But I use powdered celery in certain things. Not celery salt, but powdered celery. Would that maybe?
Yeah, as a general rule. So like herbs, you can get dried herbs, right, and fresh herbs. Okay,
right,
so
right.
The fresh herbs will taste better. But I guess the biggest thing is you got to know is that if, let's say that the recipe says a tablespoon of fresh herb,
mm-hmm.
and all you have is the dried herb, and you put a tablespoon, it's going to be way too much.
Gotcha.
So it sounds like 25% or 75% less of the dried herb. It's much stronger. It's much more concentrated, the flavor. So, yeah, so it's the same thing. But, you know, fresher is always better. It does give you a better taste. But this is, it'll give you the same taste. You just want to use less of the dried.
Gotcha.
Let's see what I brought here. Okay, I talked about this last week, but the chocolate cherry, I don't know if I brought it, but anyway, it kind of has a...
Then I did see some pictures of that, and it's exactly what I passed on.
And it does really, really well. All the cherry tomatoes, you know, I tell people, if you've always had trouble and they say, I'm going to give up growing tomatoes because, tomatoes can be difficult to grow. You got to watch for fungus and other things. Cherry tomatoes are the ones that you can pretty much grow, and as long as you give them reasonable care, they're going to perform much better than the bigger tomatoes. Great for salads, for a lot of things, and so. But chocolate cherry is a one of the sweeter ones, and this is what the customer is telling me.
Okay.
And so pretty much everything else, it's good to go, Jeff. At least, unless we get another freeze. I'll put it that way, because last year we did.
Yeah. Well, we had a frost. I wouldn't have called it a freeze.
No, it was a freeze. It was at 32. And the reason I know the difference is that a frost on my plants in the store, I will cover them and no problem. But I said, well, it's getting down to 32. And so we had to bring them in to protect them. And sure enough, people were coming in saying, I covered them, but it wasn't enough. So the 32, and you're right, it was 32, but it was maybe for 2 or 3 hours, and that's it. But for tender plants, that's all it takes. And sure enough, so, you know, but right now the long-range forecast is mild. That puts us in the middle of the month. But, you know, things change kind of when they want to change, it seems. And the only ones you definitely want to wait on is okra. It's just too early for that. Even cucumber and squash.
And it's not necessary.
That's right. It's not necessary because it will catch up with anything you plant now. You plant them in April, and it's amazing how they just catch up because they're not stunted or anything like that. And then the cucumbers and all that grow fast. Kind of the good rule of thumb is when it comes to planting early is you want to plant the things that that can give you trouble in the heat and things that take long to grow. A tomato from seed will take 3 weeks to germinate. A cucumber in the right temperature will take 5 days to germinate. So they will grow a lot faster, and so they can catch up a lot easier. So if you're going to start things early, start the ones that take a long time, such as tomatoes and peppers and eggplants. All that will take a long time to germinate. So if you want to start, be prepared to cover. Even if we don't get a freeze, like you're saying, a frost can occur or just those north winds can occur. But if you wait too long, Jeff, that the backside can get you just as bad because of the terrible amount of heat.
Gotcha.
But overall, people are planting a tremendous amount. And so I think I'm cautiously optimistic. They said it was going to be an El Nino summer, Jeff. So that means, I hope, that means rain, right? And so with rain, cooler temperatures. So I'm hoping we're not going to see a repeat of last year. But so the prediction is El Nino, moisture. So hopefully that'll pan out and allow things to maybe extend a little bit longer than they did last year. This is one of the plants I brought in. This one is called Alstroemeria, and Jeff is looking at it.
It's got like orange leaves on it.
Yeah,
or
on the petals.
Petals.
Yeah, and
thank
with a
you.
Kind of a tiger stripe interior with the yellow flowers.
Neat.
people will recognize this when they see it, but it's one that you see in a lot of arrangements. People, the florists will put them in arrangements. They actually do very well in the ground, partial sun or in the pot, good drainage, and they will actually perform very well. And you wouldn't think it looks very delicate, but it's not. And so give it half a chance. It'll do good. If you're worried about the bed prep isn't good enough, keep it in the container. This is a 8-inch pot, and you could put it in about a 10 or 12-inch container, and it will do great. And it will bloom all summer long, well into the fall.
Gotcha.
This is another one I bought. This is called Astilbe. And this is a lot of people, Jeff, have a situation where they have these trees, and everybody is trying to force it, the grass to grow. But the truth of the matter is that if it's dense shade, it is going to be very difficult, even thinning the leaves out. Because you got to remember, not only the tree is taking the light, but it's also taking the moisture. It's taking the nutrients out of the ground. Astilbe is a great shade ground cover that, okay, that makes a short little pink flower. It gets about 12 inches tall. I don't know how to describe the leaves, but they kind of serrated.
Maple leaves.
It looks a little bit like a small maple leaf.
Yeah.
And nice, lush green. They could burn back, but they'll come back. And it does, I guess it does take a little ground preparation, meaning you do have to kind of, you just can't just plug them in the ground. But it doesn't take as much as maybe some ground covers. But this will spread underneath the soil and, again, give you these nice pink flowers. Again, loves the shade. So if you have something.
Does it have a problem with the light?
It does. It does. So if you get too much afternoon light, it's going to have issues. You know, other things that we talked about in the past, like monkey grass is great, but you need a little bit more bed prep because it doesn't divide as easily in hard ground. And there's other ones, but this is a somewhat easier ground cover in the shade, and people are trying to always fight that, trying to fight under these trees, trying to put grass, Jeff, and I can't tell you how many people say, well, I'm going to try one more time. And the truth of the matter is it's multiple problems that are causing that plant not to be able to survive. So usually ground covers are a great way to go in that situation.
Why do you want to cut more grass anyway?
Well, that's true. And I get what they're saying, too. A lot of times they'll say, well, I just want to be able to walk through it, too. So, and right, something like this, you won't be able to walk through. And that's when we start to go to these dwarf monkey grass, which only get about 4 inches tall. And you can actually walk through it. Don't even have to cut it. It only gets 4 inches, and that's it. But that takes more bed preparation. You're going to have to actually create a bed and loose soil, maybe 4 to 5 inch soil, and create a bed. And then you get to other issues there, too. As you start to add more soil around these trees, the tree comes a little bit more susceptible to having problems of not getting the moisture it needs. And so there's issues either way, but the truth of the matter is sometimes just an old standard ground cover will perform very well. People are starting to look for lantanas, Jeff. And lantanas is a perennial that blooms all summer. It did really well last summer in the drought situation. And we just started to get those in. But a lot of people are starting to give up on the lantana that they had in the past. So what we're telling them is that, look, you got time on it. Go ahead and cut them back and fertilize it and see what happens. Odds are it's going to come back. Now, there are going to be certain situations where maybe they just didn't have any protection and whatever, that they may not come back. But it's too early to tell. The night temperatures have just started to kind of warm up. And remember this, the more sun they get, and I always say a little bit of difference makes a big difference. And somebody was in the store this morning, and they said, yeah, my lantana, you know, on the right side of my house is just starting to bud up. That other one must be dead because it's not sprouting. Mm. So the next question is, does this other one get more shade than the one on the right? And he said, yeah. He says, actually, it gets shade from 2 o'clock on. I said, that's the difference. The soil is not warming up as fast as it did on the right side that gets full sun. So those little differences make a big difference. So don't give up on the lantana, but you can cut it back. I know everything looks unsightly at this point, and people are getting antsy. So pretty much everything can be cut back, except for the big one is hydrangeas. You don't want to cut those back.
This time of year?
This time of year. And that's because they bloom off the old wood. So if you cut them back now, they'll come back beautiful and fully shaped with no blooms because the blooms were on the wood you cut off.
Gotcha.
And whereas lantana is new growth, and most things are the new growth, so you can cut them back. And so, but certainly the lantana you want to cut back now and go ahead and fertilize it, and let's see what happens. And if this weather stays warm like this, and in a couple of weeks we haven't got any sprouts, then maybe it did die. But as of right now, I think it's still a little early to tell, and temperatures have really just started to change. So, and there's a lot of perennials that are just starting to come in.
Is there any sign that it is done?
Not really, because you're gonna cut it back. I mean, people say, "Well, man, I break the branches off and they're snapping." And I get the branches that were above the ground probably are dead. So just cut it back. If the bush was 24 inches tall, you can cut it to 8 to 10 inches above the ground, and it'll sucker out below that. So there's a lot of things like that. Mexican heather is another one. Ruella is another one. So several plants that just going to take some warm temperatures to get to sprout. So just don't give up on it too early, and let's see what happens. Hibiscus is another one. That's real tropical. And, I mean, we're getting close, though. We're getting close to the hibiscus. I would think that within the next week or so, if it hadn't sprouted, then odds are it's going to be probably finished.
Mm-hmm.
And some people just don't want to wait, Jeff. They say, man, and there is truth to, like, the hibiscus that were burnt back may not bloom till middle of summer. Might not bloom till July. So I kind of get that one, is that you say, no, I don't want to wait that long. And so I get that. But the lantana and all that, they won't miss a beat. As a matter of fact, they will be, more rooted than if you replaced it. So if you get to come back, it'll actually come back faster, get bigger faster, and bloom much, much quicker.
Gotcha.
When it comes to, the bedding plants, Jeff, we're pretty much loaded up on the bedding plants. We're starting again. I know I always talk about this in the vinca because it's a big question. You know, vinca is too early, you know, but if you plant a few, it's okay. But certainly at this point, any of the calabrachias, the million bells, the petunias, the perennial salvias are good. We just started to get sun patients. That might be a little early because the north wind kind of affects that. But if you just plant a few, it's okay. It's the big beds you want to be concerned with, you know. And so we start to get rain and they start to melt. But for the most part, it seems that we're going to start filling up. Zinnias, we started to get in. That may be a little early. But there's a lot of things, geraniums, that you can plant now that would be fine if temperatures got cool. So if you're trying to say, look, I can't wait any longer, I've got an event that's coming up in a month or so, yeah, there's things that you can certainly put out there that would do really, really, really well. Bougainvilleas is another one I talk about. Bougainvilleas are a really popular item. For the listeners who don't know, it's the plant that kind of all the bracts turn different colors, whether it be orange, red, kind of a light purple, and other yellows, other colors too. And so the big thing about bougainvilleas is that they love the heat, they love the sun, okay? Mm-hmm. What they don't like is north wind. So most of the bougainvilleas we get, Jeff, are in hanging baskets. Oh, we do get some in containers, but they're left in the containers. So what we tell people is that put them where you can enjoy them, where you want them to be, where they'll get the sun. But if the temperatures do turn cold, just get them protected from the wind. And it's not that they'll die, but those bracts, the things that are showing you the color, will just pretty much blow off.
They're wonderful blooms, man.
They really are. And, you go to Southern California, there are trees down there.
Exactly.
And
my sister in San Francisco, even though it doesn't get hot in San Francisco, not often, it never gets below 40, rarely.
Exactly. Yeah. Which is ideal. And so they can take cold. Actually, 32, 28, 29, it's not sustained, they'll take that. So they can take that. But I just don't want the all those bracts to fall off and then you got to start all over again. Bougainvilleas bloom off of old wood. So if you had one that was left over from the winter and you want to see what happens, that's another one I wouldn't cut back. Just leave it alone. It's gonna start sprouting from the base anyway, but once it starts to sprout, if it sprouts, you'll know where to cut. It'll be obvious. It'll be wood that's dead, and you just cut that off. But they love the sun. So this is one that can – it doesn't necessarily bloom when it gets really, really hot. It doesn't like it. but it does take the sun, so it can take some abuse. And last year, that was kind of what you were looking for, right? Plants that could take the stress of the droughts and all that. Bougainvilleas love to be root bound, so that's kind of the opposite of what you know. You tell people, you know, say, "Oh, do you leave them in this container?" And the short answer is no. You can bump it up into a little bit bigger container. It'll be a little bit easier for you to take care of it, but you don't want to go with a huge container like you would normally do with another plant. The good rule of thumb in most plants is about twice the size, whereas bougainvillea is just a little bit bigger. Allow those roots to get big, and allow the plant to get bigger, and it won't. It'll take the water better. The other issue with bougainvilleas, because they like to be root bound to bloom, when you do take them out of the container, normally you tell a person make sure to break all those root bound roots up and fluff it out so that it'll grow out. And so in this case, you don't. You actually want to leave those plants, leave those roots wrapped up, and just go directly into the next size, but don't loosen that up. Because the root bounders will allow it to bloom quicker.
Gotcha.
So, but you do want to take care of them and keep them out of that wind. And if you do that, you will sustain good color most of the summer and then in the fall. Again, when temperatures start to cool off again, they will actually start to flush out and do real well. It's just extreme colds that you want to watch, which obviously when it starts to get into the mid-20s and lower 20s, you're going to have to protect it. Or anything that's sustained, you're going to have to protect them because they are very, very tropical.
All right.
Jumping to the lawns, Jeff, you know, we've been pushing people off on the weed and feeds, but I think at this point, based on what I'm seeing, that if you wanted to go ahead and weed and feed, you could, but there's no rush. So if you want to wait another week or two, no problem, do it. But long-range forecast looks pretty good. But if you say, hey, let's go ahead and hang in there, there are chemicals that you can spray to kill the weeds that you can spray and knock that down, and then go with a straight, good, slow-release, safe fertilizer that will actually get that lawn to put out. And if you're going to go with the straight fertilizer, Jeff, if you look at LSU's website, they'll tell you end of March, April, before you want to do that. And with good reason is that you start pushing the grass too early. It's not so much, or it could be, that we get a frost or a freeze like we did last year, which will damage all that new growth you got. But it makes that lawn so much more susceptible to the brown patch. Okay, let's talk a little bit about brown patch. So the grass is starting to flush out. And what we're seeing now, if people are calling saying, look, I got the brown patch again. And it's been too early for brown patch this season. And so what we're seeing is the remnants from the fall, which basically means is that the grass around where you had the brown patch is growing, but where the grass was damaged in these circles is not yet. But it will come back, but it's going to take a little bit longer. But you don't need to treat that, what I'm saying, is that when you want to start treating it, we'll start seeing brown patch. If we see it, will be toward the middle, end of March, early April, when the grass really starts to green up and is really tender, and we start to get cool nights in the 40s and the 30s. And if we get some of those and a little humidity, whether it be fog or rain, we'll start to see brown patch. And then
anything you can try and do to prevent it?
Yeah, actually there is. And I would say wait about another week or two and then put it down. It kind of depends on what the weather does. If it stays as warm as this and everything starts to flush out, then you'd put this. It's a granule that you would prevent it. And the only problem with that is that if you have a huge yard, several acres, it's kind of from a price standpoint, it's kind of impractical to put out. But if it's a small yard, it's well worth the effort because it will prevent it and you won't get it and your grass will come out, you know, nice and lush and clean and not have this issue causing it problems. But look out for the weeds, and that's kind of the biggest issue, Jeff, is certainly the clovers are out, but there's a lot of other ones out there that are causing problems. And I think we're going to see a lot more crabgrass out there. And well, I'll say that for the next show, but now there is something that will kill crabgrass within St. Augustine and within Centipede, which is unbelievably fantastic.
Without
harming the other grass. And that's really, we've never seen that before. And so so that's good news. But it's a little early to spray for that because usually the crabgrass doesn't come out till temperatures are consistently warm. And then so we haven't gotten there yet, but it's getting close.
Folks, no, it's obvious it's crabgrass versus...
You know, that's a good point, Jeff. You know, it's hard to describe, but yes, there are many grasses out there. And so this chemical, I think it's cellulose. It is something you can spray, and it'll kill crabgrass, but it doesn't kill a lot of other grasses. So there's barnyard grass, there is torpedo grass, talus grass. So there's several other grasses that it won't kill, but it kills crabgrass, which is the most prominent one that gives people problems. But it's not easy to ID. Even for me, I can't ID it from a leaf. I have to see actually the cluster. And it has those little crab-looking legs.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's kind of the way you tell what it is. And so...
Is it a problem that it spreads then if you don't control it?
Yes, it does. Because why people hate crabgrass so much is that you'll cut the lawn, and 2 or 3 days later, you have these seed spikes shooting up. So it's not so much, if it wouldn't shoot the seed spikes, it wouldn't be as bad. But it's those little seed sprouts, and it makes the lawn look weedy. But also, these seed stems will emit the seeds, and that's how they do. And I know we're going to have a bigger crabgrass problem this season than probably many, many others, and that's because the St. Augustine was so damaged last year because of the drought and the heat and every other dang issue known to man that came about. So it was really weakened. Many people thought they had lost it, but I think a lot of it's going to come back. But it's certainly there's less of it, less healthy grass out there this year than there was in previous years. So when you have a grass that's not thick, you're going to get a lot of weed seeds sprouting in between. And so we're going to see a lot more weeds this year. So it's going to be more important to stay on top of it early to try to prevent these seeds from shooting up and giving you problems.
Gotcha. Anything else you want to share?
Jeff, I think that's it. But I hope the weather holds out. I know we're supposed to get a little rain tomorrow. But, like last time, they were saying we would get a ton of rain.
Yeah.
We hardly got anything.
We were talking 1 to 2 inches. And if we had a tenth of an inch at the airport, that was about it.
You're correct. And so we'll see. We'll see what happens. But even so, it's going to be a beautiful weekend.
There we go. Looking forward to it. Getting a little fog in the morning, though.
That's right. And we're there 7 days a week now. So Sundays we're there in the afternoon, 12 to 5.
Excellent. Richard, always a pleasure. Appreciate it. And we'll look forward to the next time.
Thank you, Jeff.